Blog Talk Radio.
We will not bow down to racism. We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. I'm gonna stay.
Black. We can't change. Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd, 12 noon to 10 p.m. Free admission, living history at its best. CEC Meeting House Theater, 3500 Lancaster Avenue, and New Africa Center Museum, 4243 Lancaster Avenue. Facebook/Living History Heritage Project or 215-848-3651. That's 215-848-3651. Sponsored by PA Humanities Council, PA Legislative Black Caucus, State Representative Vanessa Lowry Brown, and Councilwoman Marion B. Tasco.
Welcome to Inside the Black Box. This is a special edition of Inside the Black Box. This is our Emancipation Proclamation Celebration episode with our special guest, Baba Kenya. How are you, Kenya?
Hello, how are you today? Can you hear me clearly?
I see, hear you wonderful, loud and clear.
Wonderful.
Well, with this special episode, you're going to lead the way. And I am just a producer, so we're going to bring on our host at this moment for your, this moment in time, and she is going to guide everyone through the Emancipation Proclamation Celebration episode of Inside the Black Box. Hello, Zahara.
Hello, hello. How are you? How's everyone out there? I'm so happy to be on the radio with you guys today on this beautiful sunny day. It's pretty hot. It's going to be even hotter coming up this weekend with the Emancipation Proclamation Weekend. And boy, do we have some stuff for you this weekend. We have Soldier of Truth coming. We have our brother Ahmad Kenya, who will join us here today because it's all about him and what he's bringing to CEC at 3500 Lancaster Avenue right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, starting at 12 noon until 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And guess what, people? It's all free. That's right. You ain't got to pay a dime to find out about who's who and your history and other wonderful things that we have going on. But before we move on to that, I want to say thank you to my producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, for bringing us in today. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Without her, I just wouldn't be able to do any of this. And I want to thank you, the audience. Without you listening, we would not be on the radio. So let me tell you what's going on with First World Theater Ensemble before we get to the Emancipation Proclamation. We have been doing our wonderful readings every Tuesday night for the past four Tuesdays at 7 p.m. right here at CEC. This week, our last one is called The Immortals, written by Richard DeMont Pierce, about the Negro Baseball League. It is a comedy with a little touch of drama, and boy, is it a lot of fun. And we want you to come out and join us, because afterwards, we're going to have a little small, little after party, you know, gathering with thespians, you know, so we can sit around, chit-chat, you know how we do, with some wine and some beer and just have a great time. But before that, if you arrive at 6 o'clock, you can be seen on our TV show, Inside the Black Box. That's right. We are recording live our audience on Inside the Black Box. And who knows, you might end up on the camera. You know, tell us how you feel about theater and what you think where theater should go and do you like theater, you know, all those great things. After that, starting on June the 7th through June 16th, we have our upcoming production, Muralista, written by Mr. Joseph P. Blake. Now, a young African-American male who's just been commissioned to paint a mural on the wall, which is a tree and a waterfall. Well, this particular day, the neighborhood and the wall says no more. Well, we really can't go into details because you wouldn't want to come and see the show if I tell you everything, but I can guarantee you it is controversial and it will get you talking. So please join us starting June 7th through the 16th right here at CEC 3500 Lancaster Avenue for our last production of the season, Muralista. And you can just go to our website and start purchasing your tickets at www.firstworldtheater.com, that's theater with an R-E, .biz. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break just for a hot minute, and then we're going to come back with our special guest, Mr. Kenya, Ahmad Kenya, to talk about this hot weekend. You think Atlanta is hot? Philly just got hotter. We'll be right back.
Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd, 12 noon to 10 p.m. Free admission. Living history at its best. CEC Meeting House Theater, 3500 Lancaster Avenue, and New Africa Center Museum, 4243 Lancaster Avenue. Facebook/Living History Heritage Project or 215-848-3651. That's 215-848-3651. Sponsored by PA Humanities Council, PA Legislative Black Caucus, State Representative Vanessa Lowry Brown, and Councilwoman Marion B. Tasco.
Okay, all right, we are back, and thank you for joining us here on Inside the Black Box. I'm your host, Zahara McGill, and we are here to talk about a wonderful thing that's coming up this weekend. It's going to be hot, and it's going to be hot outside. It's going to be hot inside the CEC because you are going to learn a whole lot of stuff. Now, my friend, my guest today, we call him Baba Kenya, but I call him Kenya, who's a very dear friend of mine. And this man came up with a wonderful idea, I think, that Philadelphia definitely, without a doubt, needs to come out and support. And I'm going to let him talk about it. First, I want to introduce you to him and let him, you know, get a little history of who he is, what he's done, and then we're going to move on to the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend. Baba Kenya, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm busy.
I know you are. I know you're busy. Well, we are so happy to have you here with us today. If you don't
Thank
mind,
you.
I'm going to call you Kenya because you're my friend Kenya. But the audience, you have to call him Baba Kenya. But to me, you are my dear friend, and we are so happy to have you with us today, Kenya.
Thank you so much.
Now, I want you just for a few, minutes, give the audience, let's get a little feedback on who you are and how did you come about to bring this wonderful Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend to CEC.
Well, basically, in a nutshell, I'm a performance artist. I'm also the acting director of Images of the Motherland Interactive Theater and the Living History Heritage Project. And we specialize in historically produced and historic timeline productions that are all original productions. And one of the primary works of ours is the Life and Times of Omar Ibn Said and the Timbuktu African Artifacts Exhibit and Workshop. And the Living History Heritage Project also features another dramatic production called Abdurrahman Ibrahima, The Prince Among Slaves, which is also a live reenactment. We've been touring the United States since approximately 2009, various cities, various states, doing this production at a wide variety of venues, including schools, community centers, museums, libraries, houses of worship, festivals, theaters, universities. The list goes on and on.
You do have a wonderful piece that talks it includes music and dance, and I know it's very interactive, and I know that probably more so the kids love it. And I know that's some of your popular piece for you, isn't it?
Yes, that's a production called Mambogoran Tales of the Dogon, and you're right, it is very, very much interactive. It features stilt walkers and African marionettes. We're the only ones that have African marionettes, and a lot of special effects, you know, lighting, smoke machines, those kinds of things, and it's based on some traditional, original, historical epics that come from the Dogon people out of the region of Banjagara in Mali, West Africa.
Okay. Now, can you elaborate just a little bit more for our audience so they can understand who was the Dogon people, so that they understand who they are and what part of the region of Africa they came from?
Well, the Dogon people are, right now, they're a minority group, an ethnic minority that inhabit a cliff in Mali that's called the Banjagara Cliff. They're pretty much a mix of animists and Muslims, and there might be a few Christians among them, but they're one of the few peoples that still maintain their traditional forms of living and traditional cultural practices as well. There's no electricity there. There's no running water from faucets or sanitation like we have here with common modern day toilet facilities and other things. They simply live in a natural agricultural surrounding, and they've done so since I guess their advent in that part of West Africa around the year 1000.
Okay. So in other words, they're still just living in the original form of the way our ancestors lived. They have not bothered to come into the modern world. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, there's sort of a mild amalgamation into the Western world. When I say that, what I mean is this: when the sun sets there in Dogon country, it's dark. There are no electric lights. There's no refrigeration. There's no telephones. If there are cell phones, it's because some of the younger people, the younger generation, have gone out and obtained them. How they charge them, God only knows, with no electrical sources. So they must have quite a quantity of extra batteries to keep their cell phones going. There's no internet access. The meats that are consumed are freshly killed and then prepared immediately because they have to be consumed immediately, and as well as the vegetation that's grown there. So they dress in modern, a combination of modern Western clothing as well as traditional attire. So you'll see that blend of that mix there.
Okay. Now speaking of the Dogo people, I want the audience to know that Kenya, even though you've been a performer, you have to be a wonderful photographer. I've seen some of your wonderful pictures, photos of these people, and as a matter of fact, from your travel, I have one of your beautiful pictures of a beautiful sister who got so excited she just started dancing at this special event. Now, I believe that we had a discussion before about Dogo people. They like to be photographed. So how was it that you were able to photograph them?
Well, as with all peoples in various cultures and countries, you have to recognize and respect their decorum of their etiquette, you know, areas and places that they consider to be sacred. You always have to give deference, and it's always best to ask permission first before you just simply go ahead and do something. So 9 times out of 10, I simply ask permission, or if it was an open type of environment and activity that appeared to be accessible and interactive by all, then, you know, you would just simply follow the lead of those that you saw doing the same thing. I've been back and forth to West Africa over a period of 10 years, from about 2000 to 2010. Every year I would go, and each time I would go further and further inland. I would interview various people, photograph them, videotape them, collect instruments, musical instruments, record music, live music, record and pick up costumes and costume parts, accessories, and, you know, gain all the intrinsic educational and culturally ethnic background information on these things so that we could add it into, inculcate it in our programs and our events and our stories and teach the Western world about these things.
Okay. Now, before we move on to about the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend, which is going to be a hot weekend right here in Philadelphia, people, I'm telling you, that if you think Hotlanta's on fire, it's going to be on fire this weekend, and this man has brought it to Philadelphia. Tell our audience, what was it that got you so interested just traveling, finding out about our ancestors, and taking photos of them, and just getting more deeper into on the reasons why, you know, bringing all these wonderful things back, you know, having the museum things on display from parts of Africa that you've traveled. What was it that drove you to become so curious and to do this?
Well, I would have to possibly give the ultimate credit to my mother. My mother was always very supportive of my, I speak of my brothers and sisters, our various pursuits in life. She always tried to keep us connected to family and always tried to make us aware of the relationships and the interrelationships that existed between family members. So as a result of that, our house proverbially became a way station for relatives who were moving about different parts of the country. You know, every now and then you'd wake up in the morning and there'd be someone on the Pullman couch downstairs in the living room, you know. And my mother would say, this is your cousin or your uncle so-and-so or your aunt so-and-so, you know. And she'd tell us how we were related. So I sat down one day and decided to tape a number of large 18 by 24 sheets of white sketching paper together and sat down with a pencil and a ruler. And I had her give me the oral connection as far back as she could remember of her family lineage. And I had my father do the same. And that became a massive family history project that is now so large that it's on DVD. And as a result of that, we did the DNA evaluation through AfricanAncestry.com, so we were able to determine what tribal groups we originated from. But in the meantime, I was always interested in Africa and in African culture and society.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I did a very profound 2-hour audio recording production that was broken into 4 half-hour segments. It was played on WKDU FM radio, and when it aired on the radio, the phone boards just lit up, and we wound up playing that production at least 4 to 5 times before the year was out due to recalls alone. And It was very profound. So you move from one phase to the next. You move from the actual historiographical research and putting it into printed word to actually going and videotaping it with the new media that's available and photographing it with the new media that's available. You know, getting current pictures and visual imagery as well as recording the sound, the natural sound as well, and new interviews with various people to help to explain these things. So it eventually evolved and snowballed, and it sort of come full circle because there's not much information presented or displayed about the African side of Emancipation Proclamation or the American slave experience. Much of it is primarily from sources that are Christian-based. And when I say that, I just simply mean that the religion that the various slave personages profess, like Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, et cetera, they all professed Christianity. But there's very little known or very little purveyed about the pre-American experience and the culture of those people and their faith-based background. So that's what we bring to the table. We're bringing the missing link, and we're adding that in for the public's appreciation and digestion and interaction.
Okay, well, I don't want to, because we're going to come back with that. Could you repeat that website? I think you said ancestorafrica.com, or did you say africaancestor.com?
Oh, this is for the genealogy. It's a website of a corporation that was developed by Dr. Rick Kittles, and Dr. Rick Kittles was the head DNA specialist that analyzed the remains that were found in New York City when, if you remember some time ago, down, I think it's in the Soho District.
Yes, I remember that.
They were doing construction of a site there, and they started finding human remains. And, of course, they ceased because they wanted to determine who these people were. And,
right. As a matter of fact, it was in Harlem where they found it. It was a burial ground.
Yes, so he analyzed the DNA of the specimens that were found and determined that this was an ancient African-American burial ground. And as a result of that, his patented method that he uses to determine the DNA ancestry is available through a company called AfricanAncestry.com. So the website for his company is www.AfricanAncestry.com, and Gina Page is the current director.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad that you are giving our audience all that information because this is information that is very important and that we need to know this and we need to know who we are and where we come from, which is what I'm very excited about, which is what's going to be in our next half of our segment coming up with Mr. Baba Kenya here, right here with us here on Inside the Black Box. We are talking about the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend that's coming up here starting tomorrow. If you, the caller out there, would like to call in and chime in with us and want to chit-chat with us and enjoy this conversation, please call us at 646-716-7994 and just press 1 so that you can join in on this wonderful conversation with Baba Kenya. We're coming right back after this little bitty break. And we're going to start talking about the Emancipation Proclamation and how he got that to come to the city of Philadelphia. We'll be right back.
Yo, we about to set the mood, right? We about to deliver all the kids, mothers, brothers, the sisters.
I'm please be tongue. These drums at the center, young youth Baptist, Baptist and fine linen. From the beginning, my practice extending across the atlas. I begat this, flipping it together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this, rapper slash actress. More powerful than two Cleopatra. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti. MCs ain't ready to take it to Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy, like the mind of Sister Betty. El Boogie sparks with stars and constellations. Then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, fear no human being. Roll with cherubims to Nassau Coliseum. Now hear this mixture, where hip hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive picture.
Now everything is everything.
Sometimes it seems
we'll touch that dream.
We'll touch that
but
dream.
Things come slow and not at all.
They come slow.
And the ones on top,
won't make it stop.
So convinced this day might fall.
Let's love ourselves and we can't fail.
Hey.
To make a better situation.
Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd, 12 noon to 10 p.m. Free admission, living history at its best. CEC Meeting House Theater, 3500 Lancaster Avenue, and New Africa Center Museum, 4243 Lancaster Avenue. Facebook/ Living History Heritage Project or 215-848-3651. That's 215-848-3651. Sponsored by PA Humanities Council, PA Legislative Black Caucus, State Representative Vanessa Lowry Brown, and Councilwoman Marion B. Tasco.
All right, we are back. I am your host, Zahara McGill, right here on Inside the Black Box. That was Everything is Everything by Miss Lauryn Hill, and you are so right, Lauryn Hill. Everything is everything, especially with the Emancipation Proclamation coming up. Listen, folks, if you want to chime in with us and call in and speak with Baba Kenya, please call us here at 646-716-7994. That's 646-716-7994, and press number 1 to join in on the conversation about this up-and-coming hot weekend. Now, let's get back to this Baba Kenya. We want to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation's Jubilee Celebration Weekend. The first question is, could you let our audience know, what is that?
The Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend is a 2-day event. It will be hosted on Saturday, June the 1st from 12 noon to 10 p.m. and on Sunday, June the 2nd from 12 noon to 6 p.m. And the two locations are for Saturday's activities, the CEC Community Education Center inside of the Meeting House Theater located at 3500 Lancaster Avenue. All activities will be there on Saturday. And on Sunday, the activities for the venue will be at the New Africa Center and Museum located at 4243 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia. The event is
all
free.
Right.
It's
yes.
Free admission.
That's the key
all
word,
are welcome.
Free.
Yes.
Okay. So now, Baba Kenya, how were you able to get such a wonderful program and bring it to the city of Philadelphia? In other words, how were you able to get it, and what inspired you to bring something like this to Philadelphia? Because to my knowledge, you know, I know they do things on Juneteenth and things like that, but I don't think anything has been done like this in Philadelphia, if I can recall. I don't remember anything of something of this magnitude, something that's so wonderful and educational and informative, that has been here in Philadelphia. So how were you able to do that, and why did you do it?
Well, Philadelphia is has been dubbed as the cradle of liberty, and as the cradle of liberty, I kind of believe that Philadelphia deserved to have an event like this. You check through various sources on the internet and social media, and you find that many other regions of the United States are celebrating and promoting the Emancipation Proclamation this
okay.
year, because the year 2013 is the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation
okay.
Proclamation. It was formally released to the public January 1st of the year 1863. And so this year, when we had New Year's and we had the inauguration also kicking off in January, I looked to see if there was anything that was going to commemorate the Emancipation Proclamation in January along with that holiday festive time period, and there was absolutely nothing there. And when I checked through the schedules for the rest of the year, there appeared to be nothing there also, especially in the Philadelphia region. So many of us, when I say many of us, I'm speaking of the various performers, reenactors, as well as the host venues, are all pretty much of a like mind. We're out to educate and broaden the perspectives and comprehension and build bridges between various diverse groups of people that compose our audiences. So I felt and believe that it was time to gather together the best of the best and bring them to one venue and invite the public to come and partake. So that's how the idea of the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend came about.
Okay. Well, we are truly happy that you decided to bring something like that to the city of Philadelphia. And I'm hoping, and I'm hoping my audience members out there who's listening, that this will be something annually that we can get behind and that we can support Baba Kenya in doing something wonderful like this and bringing this to Philadelphia. We're here with Baba Kenya. To please join us here in conversation at 646-716-7994, and we are talking about the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend. Now, Baba Kenya, I want to ask you, was it hard getting funding for something like this? You know, you're talking about the Emancipation Proclamation, and, you know, we'll move on to the program and, you know, the things that you have lined up, because you have some really good stuff, a lot of informative things, things that are not easy to deal with, because I know there's one segment dealing with slavery and other kind of things like that. So how are you able to sell this type of program in order to get funding for it, and did it come easy to you?
Well, no. Obtaining the funding is a difficult
I know
task
what you mean
at
with
times.
That
Yeah, it's a difficult task at times, but fortunately, thanks be to God, the Pennsylvania Humanities Council believed in the program and gave us sponsorship, as well as the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus and State Representative Vanessa Lowry Brown, and also Councilwoman Marion B. Tasco. And we also have funding from the Pennsylvania Council for the Arts as well. So it's coming together, and everything comes together in its proper due time. And this is the time, this is the season for
okay.
the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend. And we want to make this a signature event, hopefully that, as you said, we can do annually, because in actuality, the period from 2011 up to 2015 is the actual 150th anniversary of also the Civil War, the United States Civil War, the Emancipation
oh, wow.
Proclamation, and even Juneteenth. So this is the time, this is the year period, the four-year period to celebrate and commemorate these events. And
right.
so, as I mentioned before, we've gathered the best of the best to assemble on stage, to give you their various presentations. We have yourself as Sojourner Truth from your Barrymore-nominated production, Sojourner, which is Tour of the United States. And also you took the best of the best in 2012 at the D.C. Black Theater Fest. So this is something that the public needs to be aware of and to be able to come and see, especially if it's going to be free. And we have also Frederick Douglass, who's coming all the way from Kentucky to perform. And
one question, Baba Kenya, is he walking or is he coming by car this time?
Well, he's coming by car this time. He decided to have someone drive him, and he'll be here. He was here for the third USCT's anniversary event at Fort Mifflin about a month ago here in Philadelphia, and he's returning again to do his presentation here for us. I should mention that on June the 19th, he has received a special invitation from Congress to appear at the Frederick Douglass statue unveiling inside the Emancipation Hall in Washington, D.C. And this
wonderful.
Frederick Douglass looks exactly like Frederick Douglass. He is the selected premier reenactor for the descendants of the Frederick Douglass family. So this man is something that you really want to come out and see. We also have Major Martin Delaney, was coming all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana, and he was the number one superior military advisor for superior African American military advisor for Abraham Lincoln's Union Army. Major Martin Delaney was a very profound scholar, an activist, civil rights activist. He had traveled to Africa. And he was of the mindset of a Back to Africa movement in order to settle and deal with the issue of the slave relocation aspect once the slaves are freed. So he'll be there also doing his presentation. And we have the third USCT. We have our own local homegrown award-winning scholar, Philip Seitz, who is a historian and researcher and author who has won the 2011 Brookings Prize for Creativity for his work with the American Association of Museums. He's doing a production, actually two productions. One is on the question of slavery in Philadelphia. That'll be on Saturday. And on Sunday, he does a production called The Question of Industry and Slavery in Philadelphia, because you have to realize that the majority of the world's cotton that was being used in the industry to produce clothing and fabric was coming from the southern United States. And even the northern states relied on this for their mills to operate. And so there was a, you know, sort of backhanded, under the table kind of relationship that existed between the northern states and the southern states.
Right.
In spite of the Civil War, and it even caused the Union Army to have their uniforms made of wool instead of cotton. That was a distinct factor. You know, wool breathes and it keeps you warm in the winter, but in the summer when it gets extremely hot, it becomes sort of unbearable to wear wool clothing. So the Southern Army had the luxury wearing clothing that was made of cotton, whereas the Union Army was dressed in wool.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You can imagine thousands of men running around in the 90-plus degree heat of the South, and the West, where much of the battlefields actually existed, except for, you know, the situation at Gettysburg here in Pennsylvania, but running around in that heat with wool clothing on was very difficult for them.
Wow. You just taught me something because I didn't even realize that. That is so interesting. I'm really happy to hear about that. And our audience members out there, if you're listening, please join us at 646-716-7994. Just press 1. We are here talking with Baba Kenya about the Emancipation Proclamation Weekend. And I just have one more question. Not a question, but a statement. I know, speaking of uniforms, you have a group of men who are coming who are doing a reenactment. I believe it's a reenactment about the Civil War from the point of view of the Civil War from the colored soldiers.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about them?
That group is the 3rd USCT out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the USCT stands for U.S. Colored Troops. President Lincoln commissioned a training camp for U.S. colored troops, and that training camp was located in a place called Lamont, which is actually in Shelton Hills, just on the border of Philadelphia. And this was the singular primary training camp for over 200,000 African-American men who came to bear arms and fight for the freedom of enslaved African-Americans in this country. And the Lamont location was donated by, I believe her name was Lucretia Mott. And she was an abolitionist as well as, I think she might have been a Mennonite or a Quaker. But this group, the 3rd USCT, will be performing a soldier story and also they'll be performing a piece on the Emancipation Proclamation to give you a view of how significant that was to African-American soldiers. And there's something I think I must mention here, and that is that people are often stereotypically thinking that the Civil War was a war or an issue that was only waged with white soldiers from the North fighting against white soldiers from the South for the freedom of African-Americans, and that wasn't the case. There were many different ethnic groups that were involved in the fight for freedom for African-Americans. And one case example is Asian-Americans. There were Asian-Americans in the Union Army, one Asian-American from Philadelphia. His name was Nyuk Wu Hung. He was Chinese. He enlisted in the Union Army and fought in the Civil War. There were Jewish soldiers who enlisted and fought as well. One particular colonel was a Colonel Marcus Spiegel, who was out of the state of Ohio, and he went to the battlefield. He was summarily wounded, sent home to recuperate. After his recuperation, you know, at home with his wife and family, he returned to the battlefield again, and he subsequently died of wounds later sustained in another battle, fighting for African Americans. We have the case of Muhammad Ali ibn Said, who was a 12-year-old child who was kidnapped in the land of Bornu. He was also a Fulani tribesman. He was captured at 12 years of age, sold into slavery in the Arab world, and where he was sold into slavery among European aristocrats. He traveled the world as a servant to European aristocracy from Austria. He learned 14 different languages, saved the money and purchased his own freedom, got a boat ticket to the New World. He wanted to see what was going on in the New World. He came in through Canada, into Toronto, Canada, and subsequently he was sort of hoodwinked and wound up losing his money, and he got a ticket on a ferry and crossed the lake into Detroit, Michigan, where as a civilian, as a free man in America, he became a teacher in a classroom. So when Lincoln gave his call to arms to African-American men, to men of valor, men of color, to come and join the Union Army and fight against slavery, he put down his chalk and his eraser, and he came and joined the Union Army. And he rose to the rank of a sergeant and requested personally that he be demoted to corporal because he wanted to become a doctor. He wanted to work in the medical tents. And so that's what they did. He went into the medical tents, and he became a surgeon. And he wrote his autobiography also, but he wrote his autobiography as a free man in America. So
that is really interesting. As a matter of fact, that will be a very interesting play. The story you just told, because I didn't even know about that. You know, I'm pretty good on my history, But and I'm sure some of our audience members, they didn't know it either, what you just said about this man. And you're talking about a journey. That was a heck of a journey to take to end up helping to fight for the freedom and to become a surgeon. I think that's just a beautiful story, and it was just a wonderful journey. But I want to get to your journey before we close out here. You talked about all these other wonderful people who's involved in the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend, which is coming up this Saturday, June 1st, and Sunday, June 2nd. But you did not mention you.
Omar Ibn Said.
You have all these wonderful, you brought all these wonderful people together. However,
yes,
it was you who brought us together, and I want you to tell people you have a wonderful one-man show. Because you know, just quickly tell us who you're portraying, the name of the person, and what the storyline. What is the storyline about? Because also, I want to move on before we close out about this piece. Actually, folks, it will be in the DC Black Theater Festival. As a matter of
yes.
fact, it is part of the Living Legacy series. And I'm
yes.
so happy that it will be the DC Black Theater Festival. So, you know, you guys got to go to the DCBlackTheaterFestival.org website. And please make sure you click on to Baba Kenya's show so that you can go to DC. If you miss it here in Philadelphia tomorrow, you got to get to DC and see this wonderful one man show. So, Baba Kenya, please tell us exactly who are you portraying? Even though I already know who you were going with, and
yes.
exactly what is the piece about?
The production is called The Life and Times of Omar Ibn Said, and Omar Ibn
yes.
Said represents the pre-American experience of African slaves who were enslaved in the United States. Omar Ibn Said was a Fulani tribesman who had made pilgrimage to Mecca and was captured in a coup d'etat. He wasn't actively involved. He just happened to be a citizen in the region, and he was summarily sold into slavery into through and by way of the port of Charleston, South Carolina. The amazing thing about Omar is that he lived to be 96 years old, and as a slave, he wrote his own autobiography in the Arabic language. And as a result of that, that Arabic manuscript has become classified as American literature because it was written in America.
Wow.
The gentleman I mentioned before, Muhammad Ali Ibn Said, these are both Fulanis. One wrote his autobiography as a free man, and the other wrote his autobiography while he was enslaved. Omar Ibn Said was multilingual, but he had difficulty with the English language. He tried to communicate with his captors by writing verses and chapters of the Quran on the wall of the jail cell with his with a piece of coal he found on the floor. And
wow.
he was known for writing many different writing samples in the Arabic language for people. They would ask him to write passages from the Bible. But instead he would write passages from the Quran instead, and he would also write his own commentary. He was enslaved in America for 57 to 59 years, and even in the latter years of his life, he continued to uphold his faith and, you know, perform his ritual prayers and fast during Ramadan. He could always tell by the moon, you know, the seasons of the year, so he would always fast during Ramadan even while he was in captivity. So this story of this character shows people the resiliency of the human spirit to overcome any and all obstacles and complications and complexities that occur in life. This is a very profound piece. It's been done throughout the Eastern Seaboard, as well as out in the Midwest, and we're headed south. And like you said, it's going to the D.C. Black Theater Fest on June
yes.
22nd and 23rd at the African-American Civil War Museum. And we should also mention that we're giving away free copies. I said free copies of the Prince Among Slaves DVD that's produced by the UTF-TV. And this is about Abdurrahman Ibrahima, who was also Fulani and who was known as a prince among slaves. He came to America prior to Omar Ibn Said, and we're also giving away free copies.
Will you be giving those out, will you be giving those out this weekend, or the Emancipation Proclamation weekend, or in D.C.?
No, at this weekend, at the Emancipation Proclamation celebration. And we give away free copies of the Civil War 150 Educator's Guide to Teachers and Educators. This is all a courtesy of UPF-TV and the History A&E channel. So this is what we do to further educate the youth and the public. So we invite all to attend, come, partake, experience this unforgettable journey back in time that was roughly three generations ago for most of us who are 60 years old. We had a great grandparent who lived and experienced this particular time period in their lives.
And can you give them the website and the phone number to call Baba Kenya for them to, if they want to get more information, if somebody missed writing down the location, all that. What is the website and phone number where they can reach, get more information about?
The website you want to go to is www.facebook.com/Living History Heritage Project. That's facebook.com, Living History Heritage Project. And the number for further information is 215-848-3651. That's 215-848-3651. And for vending information, you can call 215-387-1911. That's 215-387-1911.
I just wanted to let you guys know there is a caller on the line from the 215. Do you want me to open
it up? Oh, we do have a caller. Oh, wow. Right here at the last few minutes. Well, of course. Let's welcome our caller. Hello. Are you there?
One second. Okay, it's open.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Inside the Black Box. I'm Zahara McGill, and we have Baba Kenya on the line. We have, like, maybe about two more minutes left. So we are welcome, and we're happy to have you online. Do you have a question for Baba Kenya, a comment, or anything you'd like to say? Cool. We'd like to hear.
No, I just wanted to say how interested I was in the program. I've been listening. This is Richard.
Oh, hello, Richard. How are you?
I'm good.
Richard,
yes,
you must
Richard
come this weekend.
The wonderful sojourner.
Yes, Richard, you have to come. Saturday, you have to be there. It's a command performance.
Yes. Do you hear us, Richard? Are you there?
His call dropped. He might have lost reception on his phone.
He probably was calling from his cell phone. Those doggone cell phones. See that? We didn't have that problem, did we, Baba Kenya, back in the day? We should have just left cell phones alone.
He's back.
Hello.
We got him back.
Richard, we got you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, well, we got about 2 minutes. We're glad to have you. Anything you would like to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on how interesting it was. And tell Baba I said hi. And, you know, I'll be there late, but I'll be there Sunday.
And we're going to see. No, tomorrow. You must be there tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah, that's even
Saturday.
Better.
I'm
Saturday.
No, it's Saturday. It's Saturday. Starting Saturday. We start at 12 o'clock noon. We end at 10. And of course, your piece, Sojourner, goes on at 5 for an hour, 5 to 6. And, Baba Kenya, can you let the audience and Richard know what time your performance go on?
It's 7:30, I believe.
My performance will go on at 8 o'clock.
Okay, because I'm coming straight for work. So I should be there by 6:30.
Oh, wonderful, Richard. So, Will, you'll get a chance. You'll sit right next to me, and we'll watch Baba Kenya go to work more.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much for calling there, Richard. Baba Kenya, we want to say thank you here at Inside the Black Box, and we want to make sure that we let the audience know you must attend this wonderful weekend, the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Weekend Celebration right here at CEC, 3500 Lancaster Avenue, starting on Saturday. Please, it's free. There's no excuse. It's going to be a beautiful day. There's no rain. There's no snow. As Baba Kenya said, everything has a season. And this year, at this moment, this is the season for the Emancipation Proclamation Jubilee Celebration Weekend. I'm your host, Zahara McGill. And please make sure you follow us at www.firstworldtheater. That's with an R-E, www.jubileecelebrationweekend.biz. And come join us this Tuesday night, 7 p.m. with our reading of The Immortals by Mr. Richard Lamont Pierce, our playwright who just called in, wonderful story about the Negro Baseball League. And join us starting, written by Mr. Joseph P. Blake, June 7th through the 16th of June, Mira Lisa, one of the First World Theater's most controversial plays we have ever done. We want to say thank you so much, and always remember that theater can no longer just entertain. The audience must go home, wake up the next day, and ask themselves the question, will I be part of the problem or part of the solution? God bless.
We will not bow down to our racism. We will not.